taught me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
I'm Michelle Morin here on AM 740 KVOR, here to tell you what big media want. This is my After Hours podcast on Sunday, December 3rd, 2017. I'm here with Jason, my millennial producer, who looks like a white male, but not necessarily, really isn't necessarily white. He's actually minority. So I love having him on my team. And this is where we talk about all the topics that we couldn't fit into the live show. And we've got some really interesting ones tonight, kind of bounce kind of everywhere. I wanted to kind of talk about the Matt Lauer story on my live show. Ran out of time. What a creep. What a total creep. And NBC, what an institution. Looks like the head executives are now looking at maybe getting fired as well, because there have been so many stories coming out from NBC that, yeah, they need to be, you know, probably, as far as I'm concerned, when a crime, any crime, doesn't have to be a sexual crime, when a crime's committed against somebody and someone besides the criminal knows about it and says nothing, I feel like they're just as guilty. If there's a victim involved, which there is in crimes.
It wasn't even that they were not saying anything about it. They were going out of their way to make sure nothing happened.
Yeah.
They were hushing people. Like, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Because it's Matt Lauer. He's bringing in the money. He's the big showboat, so we need to keep him here.
What are they going to do about the Macy's parade?
Between that, Kathy Griffin's not at the New Year's Eve party. I mean, all our celebrations are done.
I know. That's just disgusting. So a little bit of tidbit here on Matt Lauer. So the allegations that came out against him, they were pretty well corroborated and pretty, you know, NBC said they did a pretty thorough investigation. Couldn't deny any of it. And interestingly enough, I don't have any of the audio, but since Matt Lauer got fired, I've seen there have been videos pulled up of interviews with Katie Couric. And she was asked in some strange interview, the guy said, so, you know, ha ha ha, what's the biggest thing that bugs you about working with Matt Lauer? And she said, he likes to grab my rear end. She didn't use that word. And, of course, the host laughed and the audience laughed. And I couldn't tell if Katie Couric thought that was funny. She wasn't rolling over in laughter. I think she was just kind of going along with the laughter. It's just interesting. And this was something that happened years ago. Then I saw Matt Lauer interviewing Sandra Bullock about a movie she had made. This was years ago. And right there in the interview, on TV, live TV, he says, well, I saw you in the movie, and now I've got a new desktop wallpaper of you. And ha ha ha, everybody thinks that's funny. And then there was another one where he was backstage, and this was all some kind of little stage spoof. But basically, he took his pants off. He had his underwear on. And four or five of the NBC anchor women walked in and acted all shocked and surprised as he opened his coat jacket and kind of revealed himself. Ha ha ha, that was so funny. Guy's a creep. Then I saw another one where, I can't remember, it was an older journalist was interviewing him, and she said, oh, I remember the day in your office that we opened your closet and you had a bag of sex toys in there. And ha 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 ha, everybody's laughing. We'll have to find that one.
Wow.
So all this video footage is coming up of what a creep he's been all along. But my question remains, why wasn't this stuff creepy then? And why is it creepy now?
Because it wasn't. There's certain things like the Al Franken picture. That was not public knowledge. All of this stuff with Matt Lauer, there's so much of it that was on air, publicly available for years.
Yeah.
And now it's not okay.
It's weird. Yeah. It's weird. And like I said, my concern, I think it is making all of us much more sensitive men and women alike to what's appropriate and what's not, which is seems to be common sense, but I don't know. I posted, you know, every day we see there are more and more. It's not one a day. It's two or three a day. More and more and more men are getting accused of something. It could have been 6 months ago. It could have been 40 years ago. I posted on social media earlier in the week. I woke up and I just thought, what kind of parents do these guys have? That bothers me because as a parent, maybe I take my moral code too seriously, but I'll tell you, I have a son and that stuff is a serious offense. You know, what bothers me is the whole, to put it in very generic terms, private property rights. You don't touch property that doesn't belong to you. And I was raised, you don't go touching stuff that doesn't belong to you.
Well, it's not even about touching. You don't reveal yourself or put someone in a sexual position.
Yeah.
It's just, it's uncomfortable. And I know that they know that.
They know that. Didn't their mama or their dad say, son, you don't make girls uncomfortable. You know, you don't show yourself to girls. You just...
And I honestly, my personal belief is they had parents who said that.
You think
and then
so?
And then they get out in the world.
And it's
and
easy.
They're allowed to do it for so long because the left didn't care forever. It was okay. Oh, it's just being funny.
It was okay.
Bill Clinton, perfect example. Yeah. That's okay. He's the president. It's fine until it's not. And then they flip on a dime and like, well... Nope, not anymore.
He really did set a precedent.
Yeah.
He really did. He really did. Well, it just bugs me. Yeah. I work so hard to raise my kids to abide by certain basic things, like property rights, whether it's your body or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the things you do and don't do. With your private parts.
What's appropriate and what's not appropriate.
Right. So it begs the question, where were the parents? And you may be right. Maybe the parents did instill it in the culture.
Then, when you get through there and you're, because Matt Lauer has been doing this for years and no one said anything until this year.
How long has he been in his?
Oh, it's been.
Has it been like
decade,
10 years?
Yeah.
Has it? Well, you look that up. So all this came out, and Matt Lauer offered an apology. I'll read it to you. He said, some of what is being said about me is untrue or mischaracterized, but there is enough truth in these stories to make me feel embarrassed and ashamed. I regret that my shame is now shared by the people I cherish dearly. That's kind of a strange thing. He goes on. He says, there are no words to express my sorrow and regret for the pain I've caused others by words and actions. To the people I have hurt, I am truly sorry. As I am writing this, I realize the depth of the damage and disappointment I have left behind at home and at NBC.
Can you take a guess on how long he's worked there?
20 years?
Longer.
Longer?
1993. That's 24, almost 25 years.
Oh, wow.
That is...
And he makes $25 million a year? We'll get this. So he apologized on Thursday, November 30th.
Half apologized.
Yeah. Well, isn't it interesting how good these guys are at apologizing? They write these beautiful words. They sound so good. Well, didn't take him very long. And now he's trying to get a $30 million payback. Because that would be the remainder of his $20 million a year contract, which still has a year and a half left on it. Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's remorse, isn't it? Oh, I'm so sorry, by the way.
Yep.
Hand over the $20 million.
Yep. And from what I've read, there's a lot of clauses within those contracts saying if you do anything illegal, if you do anything morally objectionable, you do not get this money. And so I think this would fall under morally questionable territory.
I hope so.
I would hope.
I hope that's why they fired him. Let's hope so. Well, speaking of morally objectionable, apparently he and his wife have this sheep and cattle farm along Lake Hawea in New Zealand. Beautiful New Zealand, right?
Must be nice.
Yeah. The more I read, I'm like, how do these people make this kind of money? It's incredible. This is from Yahoo.com. Fire Today show host Matt Lauer used his $25 million annual salary to secure quite a few plush homes over the years, but his firing from NBC amid reports of inappropriate sexual behavior could cost him a sheep and cattle farm along Lake Hawea in New Zealand. Lauer and his wife purchased the lease from the government this February, but his alleged misconduct may violate New Zealand's behavior clause. According to the Overseas Investment Office, New Zealand requires all foreign investors to be of good character, and a government agency is now reviewing the agreement. So he may lose his farm in New Zealand because he has...
Well, that's why he needs his $30 million. He has to go buy another house somewhere.
That's right, he does. Oh, that's crazy. I can't... I guess call me, you know, simpleton, but I'm like, really? You can afford to buy this... property?
Well, not just that one. They said multiple homes.
I know.
So he has stuff. He has homes everywhere.
I guess I just don't see the world as much as others do. So anyway, I thought that was pretty funny. I guess. I don't know. You have to laugh. You have to laugh. So, Trump. I'm smiling because a year ago, Thanksgiving. My family and I were at the Thanksgiving table, and we did the whole, you know, what are you thankful for? And everybody around the table a year ago, Thanksgiving, said that Trump got elected and Hillary didn't. And this Thanksgiving, a year later, I was in California, and we did the same thing. And my daughter said the exact same thing. I am thankful every day that Trump's our president and not Hillary. And it's better than just not Hillary. It's so much better than I anticipated. And I'm not saying that Trump's Mr. Constitution guy, because he certainly wasn't coming into the presidency, but I think he's surrounded himself with some pretty great minds, at least enough that he's been doing amazing things. The regulations he's pulling back, I have no reason to doubt that he will sign, the GOP tax bill that miraculously is coming together.
Yeah.
I'm love being proved wrong.
Well, knock on wood.
Right.
It still has to make it through the house.
It has to make it through the house. But one of the other things that this is so insane. Michelle Obama, her big thing was what?
I couldn't tell you.
What was one of her big causes when she was...
Oh, bullying.
Bullying? What was another one?
Oh, you're signaling me. I do not know.
Staying fit?
Staying fit, okay.
And what was another one? It was controlling the foods that your children eat.
Oh, yes.
Remember?
Yep.
Remember?
The school foods, yeah.
She blacklisted chocolate milk. Remember that? From kids' school lunches?
Yeah.
Well, that's over. The
really?
Trump administration has made chocolate milk legal again.
Kids can drink chocolate milk.
Kids can now drink chocolate milk on school lunch menus.
No, I don't know the details. She outlawed chocolate milk.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't sodas and juices still on there?
I don't know.
So wouldn't that be worse than... I mean, you would think, okay, take out the worst ones first before you get down to chocolate milk.
Well, if you want to get down to it, let's do water, apples, and maybe a cracker.
No, water and bread. That's all you need, right?
Yeah, and interestingly enough, I didn't know this. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, they're the ones who announced the new rule. It relaxes sodium limits and Obama's whole grain requirements. It also allows milk with 1% fat back on the menu. She got rid of 1% milk?
So
she just forced kids to drink skim milk.
The skim, yeah, imitation water.
You know what? I choose what my kids eat and drink, not her. No,
obviously not.
Golly.
Holy.
The Purdue, the head of U.S. Department of Agriculture, said schools need flexibility in menu planning so they can serve nutritious and appealing meals. Schools want to offer food that students actually want to eat. It doesn't do any good to serve nutritious meals if they wind up in the trash can.
Yeah, food waste.
So, interesting. And it's kind of funny. I was reading it and I made some notes on my my page here. It bugs me that the feds regulate what anyone eats anyway. It bugs me that not only did Obama restrict it, but now we've got bureaucrats not restricting it. The fact that they have that kind of overreach, even though they made the right decision.
It's for the greater good, Michelle. When we're all on single payer, we need to make sure you're healthy enough so you don't cost us money.
Oh, gosh. Oh, maybe single payer is just going to... I haven't fully thought through the elimination of the mandate in the tax bill. Now...
Oh, it's going to collapse on us. It's going to be so great. I hope that better make it through.
I know. Oh.
If that's one of the things.
Storm the castle if it doesn't. Oh. Golly.
That was the one thing I jumped up about when I said, I saw that that was included. I was like, oh, they made it through.
Yes.
Thank you.
You can't. It is so unconstitutional. And that whole issue went before the Supreme Court. And Chief Justice John Roberts just turned his back on the Constitution and on the people of the United States when he said, no, it's a tax. It can stay. I don't know who got to him. Obama obviously got to him. But it's bigger than the financial side of things. The financial side is what we feel. The real issue was you can't force, if you're in a constitutional free republic, it's a regressive tax. You can't force people to buy something that they don't need. You can't.
Well, I'm not buying something I don't need. I'm
buying something for someone else.
I'm buying it for you and for everyone else.
Makes you and me like enemies. You know, you better stay healthy.
Yeah, you better. Yeah, I don't want you smoking. Don't smoke.
That's right. So that's good news. I'm in a really good mood tonight. And I think part of the reason is I had a week off and I really missed being here. I really did. I love this. I love being on the radio. Did you know that?
Well, you could call in next time. Just call in from there. We'll just do an on-air.
I like being behind the microphone. But I think the GOP tax bill, it was so unexpected. They had just been so...
Oh, that day when they were like, oh, we're going to postpone the vote. It's like, okay, that means it's not happening. Not happening.
I know.
I thought it was going to be another health care. We're just going to cancel it.
I did too. Well, the 2018 elections would have done them in had they not. So. Yeah.
Well, to be seen if they take out that mandate.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they can't now because we will storm the castle. Starbucks has stores called Teavana. I didn't know that until I saw this. This is from the New York Post. They have stores called Teavana. It looks like they sell tea stuff, like tea sets and maybe tea products. Anyway, New York Post says that an Indiana judge has temporarily barred Starbucks from closing 77 failing Teavana stores in Simon Property Group malls.
Why?
Because the Simon Property Group malls will lose too much money if Teavana moves out. Starbucks said in July it planned to close all of its Teavana stores. But the Simon Group rushed to court to block 77 stores from closing in its malls because the high-profile tenant could spark other stores in its malls to close.
Maybe your mall needs to close.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason.
What precedent, what legal action do they take? Do they say, well, that's not fair. It's part of the Not Fair Act.
Yes.
What is that?
Yes. It says here... the judge, Heather Welch, wrote a 55-page order and found that the very profitable Starbucks could absorb the financial hit, estimated by Starbucks to be $15 million over 5 months, better than Simon could. The mall
No.
I know.
Oh, you're a big company. You can take it.
Isn't that it's evil? That's
That's illegal.
I know.
You're literally telling them not to close. You need to spend money.
I know. Remember when it wasn't Nancy Pelosi. It was
Feinstein?
Vermont. Bernie Sanders. Remember when Bernie Sanders and Ted Cruz were having a health care debate and a Texas lady that owned a hair salon stood up and Bernie Sanders basically told her that too bad if you can't afford to stay open, you still need to pay the Obamacare tax so that everybody else can afford health care. Yeah. This is their mindset. They don't care if you, Jason, starve to death.
As long as
you pay for everybody else's benefits.
And they would rather I'd starve to death because then I wouldn't cause any health issues.
That's right. That's right.
They'd be like, no, he just needs food. He's
we'll
fine.
We'll use you up. This is astounding. Doesn't it feel like sometimes we're doing satire news?
Yes. That
Isn't
feels
it?
Like an onion piece.
Yes,
like
it does.
I hope that they go to the Supreme Court and say, can they legally tell us not to close a store?
What kind of judge? This must be an Obama. I would like to find out who appointed her. Judge Heather Welch. She's just an Indiana judge. I would like to see her get smacked down by an appeal.
Yes.
Truly. All right. I'm going to go back to the Alabama thing. I just found this tonight. There's an organization that's partnered with a Soros-financed group, and they're also partnered with a pastor who is the half-brother of Reverend Al Sharpton. And for the past few weeks, they've been working very hard to register convicted felons across the state of Alabama with the intended purpose of getting the Democrat, Doug Jones, elected.
Yeah, register to vote.
Yeah.
Which blew my mind because I didn't think that a felon could vote.
And what did you find out?
And we looked it up, and every state's different. But in Alabama, you can as long as you meet some requirements after you've served your time. And there's some states, like Maine, where you can vote while you're serving time.
That's
could be
crazy.
In prison and voting.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
And this is extremely strategic because it's a judge. None of the felons are going to want to judge.
Yeah.
The pastor, Kenneth Glasgow, this is Reverend Al Sharpton's half-brother, he's been at the forefront of this effort, and he says it has successfully registered thousands of felons across Alabama in recent weeks. The Village Voice previously described Pastor Kenneth Glasgow as an ex-con and recovering crackhead turned street preacher. There you have it. Anyway, he is, and even Doug Jones, the Democrat candidate, he's even tied to some of these organizations associated with the drive to register felons in Alabama. He spearheaded a project, this is from Breitbart, for a massively Soros-financed legal activist group demanding full voting rights be given to felons released from prison, including those convicted of murder, rape, and other violent crimes.
See, as far as I knew, I mean, even in Colorado where we are, you can vote after you serve your time, which I believe that once you committed a felony, if it's a misdemeanor, it's different. A felony, you lose that right.
I know.
That is insane.
Well, even Dinesh D'Souza, he can't vote.
Can he?
No, he said he can't vote. He did a documentary, a movie, I can't remember what.
He's in the wrong state.
That's what I'm wondering, if he is in the wrong state.
Oy.
But yeah, so I'll tell you, satire. It's not satire.
It's, yeah.
All right, so here's one more interesting story. San Marcos, California. This is from the collegefix.com. California State San Marcos held a whiteness forum on Tuesday.
Okay.
For 15 years, there's a professor, Dreema Moon. It's a white man.
Wow. His name is what?
Moon.
Dream Moon? Dreema Moon?
Dreema.
His parents were hippies. That's
I know.
Dream Moon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dreema. It's for 15 years. He's had this class, Communication of Whiteness. It's a class. The course is Communication of Whiteness. I'm sorry. It's a woman. Dreema sounds like a woman's name. No, it is a woman. Sorry about that. So Dreema Moon. These women embarrass me.
15 years. She's been holding a class about whiteness. Mm-hmm. Okay. She's ahead of her time.
Yeah. A banner hung at the front of the room during this event, And it said that the Whiteness Forum is about reflecting on white privilege and racism. Among the topics students broached, mental health services favor whites. Media coverage is biased against people of color. Hollywood stereotyping, racism in the military, and real estate practices that favor whites. One of the performers, a female African-American student, called Africa the greatest country in the world, where we all once originated. Her poem went on to say, "On a daily basis, I am seen as a threat. But you get a pass because you're white. I am an American, an African-American, and by my people and country, I stand. I identify not with the equality of America, but with the we, the people." Another student's poem offered similar sentiments. "Whiteness thrives on the hate of everyone." My eyes just bugged out. "Realize we are all pawns in this chess game. Every day is a day to challenge whiteness." She's a brilliant person, isn't she? One poster board was labeled "Mental Health Too White." Its student creators argued that mental health concerns of white individuals are portrayed as alarming and complex, while people of color are shown as simply being crazy. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Never noticed that.
Yeah. It's your whiteness. You're blind to it.
You're right. It is my white privilege. At the Writing It White display, student creators accused the media of racial bias. "Since newsrooms are largely white, ethnocentrism and unconscious stereotyping by whites produce positive images of Caucasians and negative images of people of color."
Have they been watching the news lately?
Right. "No Human Left Behind" was another poster board on display focused on the military.
"No Human Left Behind."
They're brilliant.
Yeah.
"In our discussion of whiteness, we argue that practices of power in both the past and present have continuously reinforced white supremacy in the United States military through the use of policies, attitudes, and unequal opportunities given to minorities. Students learn best when they actually do something as opposed to just hear something." That's what the professor says.
Boy.
She's brilliant.
Yeah.
You know I'm being sarcastic.
Wow.
So,
and
yeah.
This is a white woman teaching this class? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And my question is, I'm thinking, isn't this all about reparations, right, for slavery? When do our reparations begin? Because this is very, very harmful.
Well, in 400 years.
Oh, okay.
We can start talking. Oh, I wish that these people would live what they preach.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it here, you can go anywhere else. Go. Africa's the best nation in the world. Go to Africa.
Yeah.
Go to Africa.
Yeah.
Right now. I have no problem with you leaving and going there. And then try to either live the way you do now or even talk the way you talk now. Do you think it's bad for women here? Oh, Lord. You think you have no rights here?
The victims are heroes thing is really, really getting dangerous. You just, it kind of all goes back to the, you know, class warfare. Now it's just warfare between whatever you identify as.
Yeah.
You can identify as whatever, and you've got a war on your hands because anyone else who doesn't, they're an enemy.
Yep.
Because you're a victim and you're their victim.
Ugh, well, and then if you're white, you're everyone's enemy.
I know. I was telling a friend about some of this topic, and an older gal who doesn't really tune into politics too much. And interestingly enough, she said to me, you know, that white privilege thing is a real problem. And the young men are really feeling it these days. And she said, even I as a woman, I'm starting to feel it. So it isn't just you and me in the news cycle that are feeling this. This is permeating to people who don't really stay on politics anymore. People are feeling it.
Yeah. Well, the NFL.
Yeah.
That was where you went because it was football and you just cheered for your team.
Football.
That was it. And thank you, Colin Kaepernick, for for dragging this in there. Yeah. Like, you know what? You can't go anywhere. You cannot go anywhere.
No.
You can't go to Hollywood. You watch a movie, it's in there. You watch football, it's there. The Last Bastion, I'm going to have to become a NASCAR fan.
I know.
I'm going to have to because they said, if you kneel, you're on the Greyhound bus. You're out of here.
That's good. That's good. Well, that's all I have for tonight, telling you what big media won't. I'm Michelle Morin, sitting with Jason on the Michelle Morin After Hours podcast on December 3rd, 2017. I hope you all have a wonderful week, and please tune in and listen live every Sunday night from 9 to 11 p.m. here on AM 740 KVOR. Have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you soon.